Hello, Americans. Stand by for news.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment.
It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update
with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
Hey, it's that time again. It's a Monday, and it's time for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, I was not here on Friday. I had a rough week. I lost my mom on Thursday night. All I want to say here, love you, Mom. If you still have your mom around, give your mom a hug. Okay? Give your mom a hug. I'm biased, I know, but I had the world's most awesome mom. So let's hop into the news today. Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Ricky Medlock had a choice gesture for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for excluding him from the band's 2006 induction. Now, you guys know, I mean, any chance I get to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'll do it because it's such a piece of poop, okay? You guys know how I feel about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is a complete joke. But Rick, and I'm a Ricky Medlock fan. I love Ricky. I love Blackfoot, Ricky's band. In fact, I don't want to ruffle feathers, but I probably like Blackfoot better than Skynyrd. I mean, Skynyrd's a great band. Medlock's been in Skynyrd since 96, back in Skynyrd. He was an original member of Skynyrd. In the early days, Ricky Medlock was actually their drummer. And he was in the band from 71 to 72. And then he went back. So he was in a band called Blackfoot, right? Left Blackfoot to kind of start Skynyrd. And then went back to Blackfoot. But he was in Skynyrd, and his work does appear on some of the early Skynyrd albums and even some later versions of the albums. Well, when Skynyrd was inducted in 2006, Medlock was not inducted. So he was not inducted. And this is the gray area where bands sometime out of necessity have to replace original members, or classic lineup is what they say usually. So that's kind of a subjective term, the classic lineup. And the Hall did not consider him part of the classic lineup. So other examples, Journey. Steve Perry is not an original member of Journey, but he's clearly part of the classic lineup. Tommy Shaw. Oh, wait, Styx isn't even in the Hall yet. Makes my case that the Hall of Fame is a big piece of poop. But if Styx is ever inducted into the Hall of Fame, Tommy Shaw, not an original member. And yet he's absolutely part of the classic lineup. So you get this gray area, classic lineup. You can't necessarily say original because Medlock was an original member, but apparently he wasn't part of the original lineup. So Ricky says, the thing that was kind of a blow to me was that I didn't get invited, or I didn't get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with the band. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stated that I have not had any link, or that I wasn't significant to the career, and it didn't want me being inducted with them. Here's what I say to them. And then he gave them a one finger salute, which I wholeheartedly can get behind. He says, quote, I mean, I'm watching them induct people that I go, what? Are you kidding me? Right? Half the people that are inducted probably shouldn't be inducted. But you know what? He continues, that's okay. It is what it is. My Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the fans out there and the music that I play and the band that I play in, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and my own stuff. One last thing he says, you know, I got inducted. He is Lakota Sioux and Cherokee. So he has some Lakota Sioux and Cherokee ancestry. He says, you know, I got inducted to the Native American Music Hall of Fame. And my speech was, I stood up at the podium and I looked around and I went, wow, this is way better than any damn Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction could be. And you know what? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. Greg, thank you, my friend. Thank you. Talkzilla, thank you so much. Any of you, and many of you have, right, have lost a parent. I'm fortunate. I'm 56 years old. I had both of my parents until Thursday night when I lost my mom. So I realize that I have been blessed to have both my parents as long as I have. But it is not easy. It is not easy. And so we're working through all that right now. So thank you for your wishes. Revered music industry technician Bob Hale, best known for inventing the TalkBox guitar effect, has died at the age of 3. Now, if you're a fan of Joe Walsh, Peter Frampton, Richie Sambora uses one on Living on a Prayer, right? The TalkBox, a cool effect, and also kind of funny to watch when artists employ the TalkBox, because the way it works. Greg, sorry to hear that. Greg has lost both of his parents. So you know what I'm talking about. You've been through this for sure. When guys are using the TalkBox, they got a big piece of rubber hose that is mounted right up next to their microphone. And then they kind of chew on that cord while they're, and then that sends the signal through the guitar. And so it's basically the breathing pattern manipulates the sound through the guitar's pickup, so you get that wah 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 wah. Yeah, the TalkBox is all over Frampton Comes Alive, right? Rocky Mountain Way, a lot of Joe Walsh songs feature the TalkBox. It's kind of cool. Doesn't look real sanitary, right? It's not a thing you're going to share. You know when you're playing in a band and you say, "Hey, can I borrow a guitar pick?" Sure, here's a pick. You're never going to let anyone borrow your TalkBox. No, that would not be good. But Bob Hale was 83 years old, and he passed away after a battle with cancer. And also related to this, just more bad news today, Blackberry Smoke drummer Britt Turner died yesterday after a battle with glioblastoma, which is a brain cancer. He was only 57 years old. That's when it starts hitting close to home, right? When someone around your age passes away. So our condolences to the family of Bob Hale and also to the family of Britt Turner and the Blackberry Smoke guys. Our condolences and our thoughts and prayers are with them. Blackberry Smoke announced on social media yesterday, "It is with the deepest sorrow that we inform everyone that our brother Britt Turner has moved on from this life. If you had the privilege of knowing Britt on any level, you know he was the most caring, empathetic, driven, and endearing person one could ever hope to meet. Britt was Blackberry Smoke's true north, the compass that instituted the ideology that will continue to guide this band." Journey News, Journey drummer Dean Castronovo has given insight on the recent turmoil within the band, noting how difficult it was to observe the discourse between Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain. So we've talked about this a lot. Neil and Jonathan airing their dirty laundry in public. Guys, don't do that. Okay, back in the good old days in the 70s and 80s before social media, we just assumed our bands all loved each other. Right? Until, you know, sometimes there's musical differences and all of a sudden they weren't in the band. But now we hear every nuance of every argument that happens in a band and we don't like it because we don't want to have to choose sides. Well, guess what? It's tough on other members of the band too. Dean Castronovo said that the drama between Sean and Kane stemmed from millions of dollars charged to a company credit card. And these guys took shots at each other over it. Dean says, "Everybody was separate, and it was hard for me to see guys that I've known since 1989 not talking. It used to drive me insane. I remember one time I said to both of them, 'Guys, you don't know what it's like to lose it all. I lost it all. God, it's horrible. You don't want to lose it.'" Well, the good news is they've kind of worked out their differences. They're on a successful tour now. and seem to be doing much better. Dean says those guys have been together for 45 years, 40 years, something like that. That's a long time to have some petty arguments, but they worked it out. That's awesome. That's what we like to hear. During a February 25th Q&A session aboard the Rock Legends Cruise 11, Rock Legends, so there are all of these classic rock cruises, and I've looked into some. They ain't cheap. Maybe someday I'll go. Yeah, I could have a telethon and raise some money. They ain't cheap. But Bret Michaels of Poison plans to regroup for more shows after the success of the last big tour they did back in 2022. Now, Poison was the surprise bright spot in that stadium tour. We had Def Leppard has always been, I know lots of people think of Def Leppard as a pop band or whatever, but Def Leppard is a great live band. Okay. They're like Cheap Trick. They rock a lot harder live than on album. And even their albums are great. I mean, the Def Leppard High and Dry album is in like my top five albums of all. It's a great album. They were a great band. But you know, they kind of went in a more, they wanted some girls to listen to them, right? So they kind of went in a little different direction. You can't fault guys for that. They want girls to listen. But they're a great live band. If you go see them live, they're great. And I'm going to go see them. I've already bought tickets. I'm going to see them in September, right? Well, Poison, remember they did this tour, supposed to happen in 20, and then the pandemic happened. And it didn't happen until 2022. But it was Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett. Everyone loved Poison. Poison did a great job. They sounded great. CC DeVille, holy crap. He's taking guitar lessons in the last 30 years because the dude was just rocking. But they were really good. Everyone was surprised. Motley Crue. Well, they were what everyone expected, right? But Poison did so well. They're doing it again. So they're going to do a part of another big tour in 2025. I don't know if that's going to be with Motley Crue again, with Def Leppard, but they're excited about it. Brett said, we've known each other since we've been in. Oh, and by the way, all the original members of Poison. Maybe one of the only bands of that era that actually can do it with all of the originals. We've known each other since we've been in junior high school. I wouldn't be here without Bobby or Ricky or CeCe. And then as you go along, we've been together a long time, still great friends. If anyone saw the stadium tour, that was a party. And when you're out there with the Def Leppard and Motley and Joan, you're talking A-plus awesomeness. And we just came out and brought it. And they did. And you see the footage from that tour. Poison did a really good job. But back in the day, you know, everyone thought Motley Crue was the legit rock band and Poison was kind of, you know, wimpy, soft hair metal, but they kicked the crap out of Motley Crue on that tour. They're going to go do it again. So we'll see how that rolls. All right. An email. This is from one of our favorite listeners, Mr. Kuza, joining us from Russia. Thank you so much, Mr. Kuza. He's got a great, this is a philosophical, we could talk for an hour about this question, but I'm going to throw that out there. And here's what I would love. I would love for you to chime in via email. Send me an email, classicguitarrock@mail.com, and let me know your thoughts on this question. Here it is. Hi, Jeremy. First of all, I wish you to heal your throat as soon as possible. He heard my last broadcast on Thursday. Thursday was not a good day. I was sick all day. And then my mom died that day. I mean, that a bad day all around. My question is not about classic rock, but about music in general. Modern music is mostly terrible, which cannot be said about old songs. And at the same time, I understand perfectly well that there have always been bad songs, but they just haven't passed the test of time. Do you think the songs were really better before, or did only the best ones reach us? Your fan from 6,000 miles away, Mr. Kuza. there is a lot of layers to that question. Thank you, Mr. Kuza. That is a great question. And I have thoughts on this. That's why I'd love to hear other people's thoughts. Cause you are exactly right. There has always been crappy music. There always has been. Okay. And also we have to recognize that music is subjective. There is music that I love and think is awesome that like my parents, for example, do not dig at all. Right? My kids listen to music that they like that I think is garbage. So there's always going to be some subjectivity to there. So that makes it kind of tough. So I think I want to limit my comments to radio. Okay. I've always been a fan of radio. I worked in radio for a decade. I grew up listening to the radio. There's something magical about radio. And here's how funny I am. I prefer to listen to AM radio because that's what I listened to growing up. And if I can find music on an AM station, I listen on the AM station, even though it sounds way better on FM. How weird is that? But I love radio. And I think I've mentioned this before. You could go back and you can do this. You can go back on iHeart. This is not a plug for iHeart, but this is where I find it. You can go on iHeart and listen to full episodes of Casey Kasem's Top 40 Countdown. That is a masterclass, particularly in the 70s, right? It got a little more formatted into the 80s. But you would hear weekly on the Top 40, you would hear soul songs, all on the same station, right? Soul songs, soft rock songs, some country crossover songs, some hard rock songs, okay? R&B. I mean, you would get a cross-section of music. And yeah, some of it was bad, and some of it we've never heard again. It didn't stand the test of time, right? Radio today, I'm a student of radio. Radio today, and to be honest, I can really only comment with any type of credibility on country, and that's only because pop music is so bad, I don't listen to it. And I know immediately that might disqualify me because I already sound like the old guy yelling at you to stay off his lawn, right? Immediately, I get that. I can't listen to it. It's crap. Country music, also crap, but you know, country music is like, pop music is 99% crap. Country music is probably 90% crap, okay? But it's the same crap. And what I hear in country music especially is there's a formula. Let's get out our template and write our country song, okay? We need to come up with common cliches, common cliche, things that people use as an expression. Let's come up with an expression we can use. Okay. Let's get in something about, you know, drinking. We're going to have a little rap part in the beginning. We're going to have some electronic ambient music, but as long as we sing it with a drawl, it'll be okay. All right. It's crap. Okay. There's a Nashville formula that pop country sucks. Pop music, same thing, right? It's the same thing. So that's a long-winded answer to your question. Yes, songs were better back then. They were better. They were better. I mean, that's the thing. At the risk of sounding like an old fuddy-duddy, but I stand by that. Music was better. Rock was better. Modern rock, it's noise. Okay. There are exceptions, I know, but so much of the modern rock, there's very little harmony or melody. It's screamo crap. I don't want that. I don't want drums that sound like jackhammers. I don't. And let's take a hit. Let's take a song that's a hit today. Will we still be listening to it 40 years from now? Maybe some of them we will, but I mean, you can still hear great Fleetwood Mac songs today. They still get played. Okay. A foreigner song, a great classic rock song. I mean, they still get played. So 60s, we still hear Beatles songs because they're great songs. Now, there might be some that are coming out today that will stand the test of time. I'm not familiar with them if there are. So that's on me, right? I probably need to do my own research a little bit better. But if you're asking me the question, do you think the songs were really better 30 or 40 years ago? My answer is yes. I think they were better songs. I think there was less focus on a formula. We got to follow this formula to write a hit. Okay, let's get this drum sound. We want to sound, here was a hit, so let's make a song that sounds just like, there is way more cookie cutter going on. And perhaps Nashville's even the worst about it now as far as there being cookie cutter stuff. Yes, there are exceptions. I know everyone's going to tell me, well, you need to listen to, they're still good. Yes, obviously there's still some good music that comes out. I'm talking about in a general way, country music sucks and modern pop music sucks. Bluegrass Blue 22. Thank you for chiming in. One of my local stations plays the American Top 40 on Saturday mornings. Wonderful memories of our youth. I love it. I'll go back and I'll pick. Let's listen to one from 1978. And I love it. I love it. And to my point, you hear such a broad cross section on that. And it's not the same today. Sorry, it's not. Yes, our music was better. Uh-huh. That's the way it was. Well, Mr. Kuza, thanks for getting me all fired up about that. But great question. I'd love to hear from all of you. So shoot me an email, classicguitarrock@mail.com. And guys, thank you so much for I've heard from a few of you actually since losing my mom, and it's meant a lot to me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, following us on X, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you are. Continue to do that. Thank you so much. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Take care. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.